Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, the last and final Daf of our dear Masechet Sanhedrin. So it's Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, and we're holding six lines off the top, referring back to the Mishnah, where it says, Kisvei HaKodesh Yigonzu. We have an Ir HaNidachas, a city whose majority of its residents have been misled to worship idols. The entire city is banished. The members are put to death by the Bezdin. The possessions are destroyed as well, burnt, destroyed. What about Kisvei HaKodesh? You have some Svarim, some holy scrolls. Those you bury. Now, clearly, the din of Ir HaNidachas will apply even to a city which owns Kisvei HaKodesh, and that's unlike a Shita that we actually had a while back, which is Shita's Rabbi Lezer. Masnisen the like Rabbi Lezer, it's our Mishnah. It's unlike Rabbi Lezer, the son of Rabbi Lezer holds. You should know that a city that features even one mezuzah within it cannot become Ir Nidachas, because the pasuk says, burn the entire city with its contents. Right? So, all possessions are going to be burnt. You cannot burn a mezuzah. Right? You're not allowed to burn a mezuzah. The pasuk says, destroy the idols, but don't do that to Lev Sasun, Kein Lashem Alekechem. So anything that contains Hashem's name, etc., cannot be burnt. Right? A mezuzah, which contains the name of Hashem, may not be burnt. And therefore, says Rabbi Lezer, if you cannot fulfill this directive of burning all the possessions of Ir Nidachas, because you cannot burn a mezuzah because of the Shem Hashem mentioned in there, you can't make it Ir Nidachas. It's done. It's exempt from the process. Our Mishnah obviously disagrees. You burn what you could, and Kisvei HaKodesh, you bury, you put in Shemus. And what about rebuilding the city? So we had a machlokes in the Mishnah. Whether, you know, the Isser of Loisi Bone Oid, it should not be rebuilt, replies strictly to actually rebuilding it. But let's say I want to turn into an orchard, into a farm. What about that? So Rabbi Yosi Aglili says you cannot even develop it. You can't even turn it into a Gina Upardis. Rabbi Kivi says no. You can't rebuild it. But a farm, an orchard, plantation, that's okay. So what's the Machlokes about? Lema. We can suggest, perhaps, but Rabbi Abin Omar, Rabbi Lo, the Machlokes revolves around the statement issued by this Amor. That's the Machlokes. Omar Rabbi Abin, Omar Rabbi Lo. Kol Mokim Shatu Moitzi, Klal Ve'asei, Uprat Ba'laisasei. So we know about a Klal Uprat formula, right? We say it in the morning, some of us, when there's time. Rabbi Shmuel Lahimer, right? There are 13 formulas, 13 methods of derivation, right? One of which is called klal uprat. You have a term which generalizes, followed by a specific, more of a detailing type of term. Klal and prat. The prat is meant to explain, to limit, to specify what the klal had in mind. Now, that's standard procedure. What if the klal happens to be a mitzvah, says a positive commandment, such as in this case where it says destroy the entire city, and then we have a more specific term. The thing is that it's switched to a negative connotation. So like v'hoysa teil oilam, which should be utterly destroyed and remain that way forever, and then it says loisi bonei oilam, should not be rebuilt again. It should forever stay in a state of destruction. But then it switches to a loisase, don't rebuild. So we're specifying don't rebuild, implying structural rebuilding, and that turns into Lo Yisase. So can we combine these two phrases, in which case the Lo Yisase Bana Oid, which is specifically talking about physical structures, buildings, is an explanation, is a detail, is an elaboration on the preceding generalization of Lo Yisase Tel Olam, in which case the prohibition is specific to rebuilding it as it was. But if you're just going to turn it into an orchard, to a field, that's okay. So do we say that or not? On the other hand, we can say, well, this is a Lo Yisase, this is an Ase, you can't connect it to. And therefore, the prat is not going to be mamait the klal. It's not going to limit the klal. Torah says, leave it destroyed. Don't develop it. Leave it desolate. That's the machlokes. Okay. Leima b'der Rabbi Abin Amar Rabbi Bifkid. Amar Rabbi Abin Amar Rabbi. Kol makom shatam mitzvah klal ba'asei. The klal is a mitzvah asei, such as Voisatel oilam, utterly destroyed forever. Uprat, the details below is say, like loisi bane oid, ain't done noise called prat, you can't connect the two things, and you don't limit the klal through the prat. Demar is like the Rabbi Abbas, Rabbi Yitzhak Lili, who says, you should never develop the town, even to turn into a Guinness or Pardesim, because he holds like Rabbi Abbas. We focus on Voisatel oilam, we don't limit it to buildings. Umar looks like the Rabbi Abbas, Rabbi Kiva, doesn't hold Rabbi Abbas, therefore, he says, even here, you would limit the Isra, you would limit the prohibition to structures, to rebuilding it the way it was. Law, he says, the Gemara, you don't have to necessarily tie it to that discussion. Dukuli Alma Islu the Rabban, perhaps all agree, conceptually, it's Rabban, Vachabak and Mithigan. Machalik is here as follows. The Pasuk says, Lois Sibane Oid, should not be rebuilt further. Marsova, Rishak Lili says, Oid means don't develop it, period. Lagamri Mashma. Well, Marsova, Rakiva says, Oid means look at Masha Haisa, don't restore it to its former state. Eino Nibis, you can't rebuild it. Houses, buildings, that's Asr. Aval Nasis, he gives us a pardes, and if you want to turn it into a farm, into an orchard, that's okay. That's not called restoring the city. Tana Rabbana comes to Baisim. Ayubay Lani solution not Asur. You found, you know, in the city, some trees in the nursery, right? That are not, you know, they're not currently planted in the ground. Asur, like all the other possessions, they're asur. Mechubarin, if they're growing in the ground, mutar, then they're okay. And the reason is because, as we said yesterday, Pasuk says, gather. As kol shlola tikbois, gather into the city square. You can't gather it before you chop. First you have to chop, and that's an extra step, and it's not included in the Isra. But let's say the trees belong to a different city, Sheli Racheres. Bein Tlushin, Bein Uchabar, and Asr, whether it's off the ground or in the ground or Asr. Well, what does this mean? Ma'ir Racheres. Which other city is Amar Abchiz de Yerichai, right? The famous city of Yerichai, which was banished by Yeshua. Dechsiv Hoysa Ir Cherim, Lashem, turned into a Cherim. Won't take anything from the city, everything is Asr Bahano. So the Braisa just meant to say that regarding Yerichai, it says V'chol Asherbo, anything found in the city is Asr, even trees which are B'chubra L'karka. So it's different than Ir Nedachas, which is limited to movable possessions. Yerichai includes everything. Okay, on the topic of Yerichai, Vayashba Yeshua, Ba'isa Hilema Yeshua made an oath and he applauded to all his listeners, Arur Ha'ish, all should know that the man who goes and rebuilds Yericho will have a klala with Hashem. Asher Yakum Uvana Seir Hazoyis Yericho, and he gave a very stern warning, very consequential. He'll lose his kids. A person attempts to rebuild a city, Bibchayor Yasdena. Let's say he has a bunch of children. As he's establishing this, as he's miyaseh these. Going through the initial steps of rebuilding the city, the yisoy, the foundations, as he's pouring the foundation, he loses his oldest child. Ubitz iroy yatzik laseya. By the time he gets to installing the doors, he loses his youngest kid. He loses all his kids. Tanya, we'll enter in Bryson. How far reaching is this isur of Yerichai? Lo Yerichai al shem iracheres. One may not rebuild Yericho even if he gives it a name. Calls it New York. Doesn't matter, because you're rebuilding the city. And likewise, V'lo Yiracheres, Al Shem Yericho. Nor can he build a different city, a different location, and gave it a name. Name it after Yericho. It was a town in Israel called Mitzpah Yericho. I don't know what they... Perhaps it's a little bit of a different name. Mitzpah Yericho is not included in the Isser, but here clearly, the Gemara is alluding to giving the name Yericho, even to a different city. That's called, you know, rehashing its memory, rehashing its existence. You can't do that. Similar to naming a child after, you know. Tchsiv, as the Pasuk says. So how do we know that it goes this far? One may not even rebuild a different town, right? Establish a town and give it the name Yericho. So we have a Pasuk with a fellow named Chiel, who experienced much tragedy because of this halacha, because he violated this halacha. Bana Chiel Beis Ha'Eli. He built a place called Beis Ha'Eli, Es Yerichai, and he gave it, that was part of his name, Chiel Beis Ha'Eli, and what did he do? He rebuilt Yerichai. Now, he didn't really rebuild Yerichai at the Yerichai location. He built a different town, as we're going to see, and he called it, he gave it a name Yerichai, and he lost his kids. Ba'aviram B'chayra, he's the oldest Aviram, Yista, he poured the foundations. When he did that, his oldest died, Ubisguv Tziroi, and his youngest, whose name was Seguv, he lost him. When he did Laseh, when he established the doors and completed the city. Right? So we see clearly that even if it's a different city, but if it was named after Yerichai, the klala of Yeshua applies. So we have a Brisa describing play by play what happened over the Tanya, Barir, Bechore, Rasha. So when his son Aviram, the Rasha, died, the father perhaps did not pick up on it, because it's, tragic as it is, perhaps it's not related. But then, when his youngest son, Skuv, the Rasha, died, he should have figured it out, he should have realized. Ask the Gemara, why are we calling him Rasha? What's wrong with his kids? Aviram scared my up, I did it wrong. You're right, we're talking about the father. The father, we're calling him a Rasha because he disregarded this klala. So perhaps he didn't pick up on it when his oldest son died, but then when happenings, tragedy after tragedy, when his youngest died, he should have realized what's going on. Right? So basically, he should have anticipated his younger son dying. Right? Once his oldest died, he should have stopped and said, hey, one second. And taken account, and perhaps he would have been spared Skuv dying as well. Now, once the pasuk says Aviram was his oldest, any idea she Skuv tziru? Don't I already know that Skuv is the youngest? Why does the pasuk have to specify that he was the youngest? The answer is he didn't have just two kids; he had many kids. He kept on bearing his sons one after the other. Me Aviram, from the oldest Aviram until Atzkuv, the youngest. So the Pasuk in saying Skuv Tziro is indicating that he wasn't just number two of two. He was number, five of five. So what was the story? Achav, Shushbini Hava. Achav, the king of Israel, was a good friend of this fellow Chiel Beis Ha'Eli. And when he was going through this tragic experience, he was losing his kids. He had some visitors, who came to Menachem Avelim, Asa Iyu. So Achav came Veliyo to get Eliyahu Hanavi, Lemisho B'Shlomo Beit Avya, to come and console him. Beit Avya is a place of an oven. Yasa V'Kamar. So Achav was sitting and trying to, explore what happened. Dilma Ki Melet Yeshua Chilat. Perhaps the klal of Yeshua was as follows, meaning it covers even this type of case where you build a different town and give it a name after Yerichai. Lo Yerichai al Shem Aracheres. Lo Yeracheres al Shem Yerichai. Whether he's rebuilding actually Yerichai, even if he gives it a different name, or in the reverse, builds another city and gives it a name Yerichai. And that's perhaps why you got punished. Amal Eliyo in, so Eliyo actually seconded that. He said, yeah, actually, you're right. You're right on. That explains why he's going through all this sorrow. Amar lei, so Achav, in a disrespectful show of contempt, turns to Eliyahu. How could this be the reason for the death of his kids? Do you mean to say the klala of Yeshua was actually fulfilled? Hashtel of Atasa, look, even the klala of the Moshe, of Moshe Rabbeinu, like a Mekayma, we don't see it being fulfilled. The Chsiv, that's what he said. The Chsiv, the Pasuk says, right? In Kriya Shema, Besartim, Avadim, person strays from the path and serves idols. What happens? Pasuk follows by warning that it's going to be accompanied by a rain stoppage. Uksiv, V'chor af Hashem bochem v'atzar asa shamayim. So that was his equation. That was his package. Moshe Rabbeinu ties rain stoppage with Avodah Zarah. Look, look what's going on today. We have plenty of rain, despite Avodah Zarah. Despite the rampant of a deserve. Our governor, this man, referring to himself, Mr. Achav, established night on each mound out there. It's so prevalent, so pervasive, and still we don't seem to have our rain affected in any way. You know, there's so much rain because of the mitra, we can't even go back to the idols, it's full of mud and whatever. Clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu's warning was never really... So if that's the case, that Moshe Rabbeinu, right? His warning wasn't really so levatasa. The Yeshua Talmid the Mekam. You think the klal of Yeshua, who is Moshe Rabbeinu's Talmud, will be fulfilled? So you're sort of mocking this this reason, this explanation for Chiel's tragedies. Miad, as soon as Eliyahu heard this disrespectful outburst. I got to do something about it, he says. So Eliyahu turns to Achav. Chai Hashem l'kei Yisrael. I swear in the name of Hashem. And yeh tal matar. That's it. There's no more rain. No more rain. Now I'm going to stop the... I'm going to cut off the rain supply. Boi rachim. Say down to Hashem. Right? To make his point so that Achav learns his lesson. He turned to Hashem. B'havalei akli to the mikter. And they gave him the key, so to speak, of rain. And now he was in control. Come to Aslan, got up and left. So he shut the spigot. No rain. After a while, Vayidvar Hashem Elav Lema. Leich Mazeh. Hashem tells him quickly, get away from here. You're in danger. You're threatened by Yachav. Uponis l'chal kedma, go to the east. In the start, you'll hide in a cave in a place called Benachal Karis. And how was he fed? Miraculously, Hashem arranged for ravens to bring him food from Achav's kitchen. Where did they bring it from? From Achav's kitchen. Some sefer asks, how could he consume food that belongs to somebody else? What happened to dishonest? He said it was his right because Achav banished him. Achav threatened him. He had to run away. He had to escape Achav's threat. So Achav was responsible for his well-being to feed him wherever he was. Now, how could he eat Achav's food? That's a whole discussion. It turns out, I think they say that Achav had a very kosher butcher, a very kosher chef there. His name was Avadyahu. Avadyahu was his manager, and he was a tzaddik. So he had the Ashkoch of Avadyahu, C-O-R-R, Ashkoch, O-U, for the meals, you know, the ear meals delivered by the birds. After a while, the stream dried up, which was running alongside the cave that Eliyahu was hiding in. He was because of no rain. Once Hashem saw, or maybe Eliyahu noticed, that it was getting really serious, it was getting distressful, no rain, no water. Hashem turned to Eliyahu with instructions. Kum lech Tsarfa, so go to the place called Tsarfa. And you'll find there a woman who's going to support you. After this happened, so the hostess, their child got very sick, and he passed away. Boy, rachmi, Eliyahu, out of a feeling of gratitude to his host, wanted to restore the child's life. So Yidamah to Hashem, Bikir, Boi Rachmi, Limitan Lei Aklida Dichtchias HaMeisim, that they should give him, from heaven, they should grant him the access to Dichtchias HaMeisim, the key to Dichtchias HaMeisim. Amar Lei So, Amar Lei So, and Shemaim, they responded, Shalosh Mavteches, There are three keys which Hashem did not, you know, appoint ministers on, meaning everything else Hashem sort of delegates to Sarim, to Malachim, to run, you know, in the world. But when it comes to rain, Tchias HaMesim, and also the third one is the Mafteach Shel Chaya, of giving birth, the process of giving birth, that's directly supervised by Hashem, so to speak. So these things were not given Linimsur L'Shliach. They're in the hands of Hashem. On occasion, yeah, like Eliyahu took, you know, the key for rain, but a short-lived, you know, short-lived loan, so to speak. It wasn't given to him permanently. There were no long-term ministers in charge of these things. So what are the three things? Shel Chaya, oh, that the Yeledes, giving birth, Shel Geshamim, Shel Tchias HaMesim. So you already have one, I can't give you two. You already have the rain one. Yemru, because if I give you the second key for Tchias HaMesim, they'll say, Shtayim B'yad HaTalmid, V'achas B'yad HaRav. It's unbefitting. Two of the three keys are sitting in the hands of the student, one is in the hand of the master, Hashem. So I can't give you two at a time. If you want, you can make a switch. I say, huh? First return the Mafteach of Geshamim, Mashkil Hai, then you can take the one for Tchias HaMesim. That's what he did. So he returned the first key, and he took the Leich Heroel Acha, and he revived the dead. Right? The Pasuk says, Leich Heroel Acha Vetna Motor. So once he returned the Mafteach Shel Geshamim, Hashem further instructs Elio to go tell Achav Ve'etna Motor and tell him that I'm going to be providing rain coming pretty soon. And clearly says Ve'etna Ai. Hashem took the power sort of back to him and away from Elio. Dorash Ahu Galila. So the Talmud from Galil, Eretz Yisrael area, presented his drasha coming to Rav Chisda. Moshe d'Eliyahu, the mother of Adam. How can we sort of illustrate the story of Eliyahu who was compelled to return the key? It's like a person, the gavra, like a person, the tarki legali. So he locked up the door and he lost the key. Abdul Maftachi, he lost his key. So here as well, he locked up the door of Geshamim, but then he had to give up the key, which was taken from him, and the rain started coming. Darash Rabbi Yosi b'Ritzi Peiru. So Rabbi Yosi taught in the town of Tzipori, Abba, my esteemed Elio Novi was his Rebbe, he was esteemed captain. You should know, he's a bit intolerant. Okay, this is not for us to understand, but Sisrei Teira, he called him a captain. Havarogel Mesegabe. So it turns out, so why was he calling him a captain? Because of what happened with the how Elio appeared to get, you know, upset at Achav and cut off the rain supply. It was a little bit of a drastic. Rabbi Yosi was presenting that this was a bit of a drastic, abrupt, you know, response. Rather, you should have taken a gradual approach, right? And, you know, try to get him back on board, try to get him to do the teshuva, to reconsider his disrespectful words. Furthermore, says the Sefer Sanhedrin Ketana, ultimately, Elio applied collective punishment. All of Klal Yisrael suffered because of that. So he's calling him a captain. Havrogel Mesegabe. It turns out Elio Navi was a regular attendant in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yosi. And because of this reference to Elio, he called him a captain. He didn't show for 3 days. Elio Navi didn't come to the Beis Medrash for 3 days. Ichasi minei tlaso yem ilaos, he didn't come to the Beis Medrash for 3 days running. Ki asa, when he finally came, after 3 days were up, Amar leis, so Rabbi Yosi turns to Elio Navi. Where were you for the last couple? We missed you. Am I lost someone? Amar leis says, don't you remember the captain curse? You gave me you called me a captain. So I stayed away. Amar leis, so Rabbi Yosi responds, again, we don't understand exactly, you know, what they had in mind, but in any case, Amar leis, Rabbi Yosi responds, oh, there you go. You see how you're a captain? You see, I made that comment, and then you don't come for 3 days. How to come on? This incident that just happened before us, meaning the fact that you refrained for 3 days, that's the biggest proof. The kokapet mar, that you're you have that element of intolerance, and he made his point. When you have Rishayim in the world, there's anger. Man Rishayim, who are these Rishayim that we're talking about? Rabbi Yosef, Ganavi, thieves. Thieves generate Hashem's anger. Tan Rabbanan, Rasha Balaylam, when Rasha is around, Charayin Balaylam, there's anger in the world because he generates sin. Shanama Bavai Rasha, when the Rasha comes, Bogam Buz, Vim Kolin Cherpa. So Kolin, says Rashash, is like kalei, like roasted. Heat, fire. He generates fire, generates heat, generates anger. But on the other hand, Rasha Avad Mar'ilam, Rasha disappears. Toiva Balaylam, it brings goodness. Shanamar Bavayd Rishayim, when the Rishayim are banished, Rina, there is happiness. Tzadik Niftam and Oilam, when a Tzadik has to leave the world, that's not really a good thing. Ra Balaylam, it generates. Ra, Shanema Tzadik Ava, Vein Yish Samalei, Vein Shei Chesed Nesafim, Vein Maven. So when Tzadikim have to leave, Ki Yipnei Ra, Nesaf Tzadik, sometimes Hashem will take away a Tzadik in advance of some troublesome events that are anticipated. But we end with a positive note. Tzadik Baloyim, when a Tzadik is born, Toivah Baloyim, he brings along goodness, Shanema, as we find by Noyach. His father called him Noyach, Zein Achameinu. Right, you should herald a new era of happiness, of goodness, of bracha. Zayin achamenu, maaseinu, meitzma in yadenu. Hadron loch kol Yisrael, yesh lam chel kol nabo, uslikol am asecha Sanhedrin. May we all be zayche, the mois ha-mashiach, or l'chay lam abo, a beautiful chelik in Gan Eden. And as a great man once said, one who was committed to Torah, one who was dedicated to limud ha-Torah, not only will he be zeichet to a great portion in Olam Haba, that's granted, that's understood. But he will enjoy this life, this world. He'll have a beautiful life in Olam Hazeh as well. Maybe all be zeichet to continue learning the Simcha, Hatzlacha, Gezunt, Nachas, Ad B'ezgir, Tzedek, Meher B'meinu, Amen, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov.
I know you will know us is the Zeus after you row. He alone who was the yo you row. Oh, you speak to the no, you will know us is the Zeus after you row. He alone who was the yo you row. I know you will know us is the Zeus after you row. He alone who was the yo you row.